It's time for the Two Old Men, a morning show, and sometimes a dog podcast. And now, here's our hosts, Jeff, John, and Charlie.
103.9, 98.5, the pig, mypigradio.com. Good morning, JW.
Yes.
And good morning, hospital corpsman, second class, Brandon Henthorne.
Good morning.
Is that how that goes?
Absolutely.
With the U.S. Navy.
That's right.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us this morning. Basically, we're wanting to get some folks to sign up into the Navy. But
before you do that, as I was doing off the mic, let's get a little info about.
Yeah, I want to know about
Brandon himself. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I was born in South Carolina. Uh-huh. I was raised there until I was about 7 years old. Left there and moved to Southwest Missouri,
uh-huh.
a little town called Van Zandt, Missouri, and that's where I joined the Navy in 2007.
Fresh out of high school.
Fresh out of high school.
All right.
And thank you all for having me on the air. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, man, we're glad you're here. But you went in right out of high school and have been in how long now?
I've been in now for 12 years.
12 years. So you're going to stay with it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. At this point, he's going.
I have just under 8 years left to go till I'm eligible for my first retirement, and that's going to be at a ripe young age of 38.
Ain't that something?
The great thing about that is, you know, you get that, and then you've got all this experience, and then you can go out and get you another job that you're trained for.
Absolutely.
And still have time to retire from that.
I know. It's great.
that's good planning. So what led you to your I guess, you're the hospital, you're a corpsman.
Absolutely. So what led me to my field? Well, if you'd asked me when I was 17, if you'd ever seen me, you know, helping somebody on the medical side of things, I would have told you no. So when I joined the Navy, I originally joined to be a SEAL. Things didn't quite work out in my favor, so I had to pick up a couple other different jobs, and so I decided I wanted to be a corpsman. When I became a corpsman, I learned basic triage, emergency medicine, IVs, sutures, you know. And when I really dove into it, I fell in love with it. It was something that I grabbed a hold of and just ran with a million miles a minute. And so that's honestly how I wound up in the shoes that I'm in today.
Well, very good.
You know, a lot of people don't know. You know, they think, well, the Navy, okay, we're on a ship. But no, there's so much more. There's so many different types of specialization that you can learn and then use it in your private career. Talk a little bit about all the different things that you can become.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's definitely a common misconception of what the Navy is that, oh, you're on a boat and you're out for 6 to 8 months. I mean, my career, I've only been on a boat for 1 month and 10 days out of 12 years of service. Right. But we have all different types of jobs, and 99% of them translate to something on the outside. Not all of them are shipboard jobs. So my job particularly is not necessarily a shipboard job. Mm-hmm. It does have its place on a ship. And then we also have builders, welders. A lot of our welders, though, they do specialize in taking care of the ship because it's a big metal ship. Right.
Yeah.
So we got to weld them together. We have nuclear engineers that work in power plants, both ashore and on ships. So pretty much every job that we have, aside from veterinarian, is equivalent to something on the outside.
MyPigRadio.com. Talking with hospital corpsman, second class, Brandon Henthorne,
and you
from the United States Navy.
And you talked about, obviously, healthcare, technology, engineering. It's also aviation, obviously.
Absolutely.
Navy pilots working on planes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we definitely have one of the largest aviation communities in the services, right? So we have aviation structural mechanics, aviation electricians, pilots, pretty much anything that handles the aircraft, we have.
Mm-hmm.
From launching the aircraft off the boat to launching an aircraft here on the land, and how I was talking about a little bit earlier, how everything translates. Essentially, if you were in one of those job fields or those specialties, you gain certificates. With those certificates, you're allowed to go and do other things in your career after you're done with the Navy, whether it be Lockheed Martin, Boeing, mm-hmm. any other aircraft.
And that really is an advantage to the Navy, is all the tech jobs, because just like you said, just about everything translates to the private sector after.
Absolutely.
You know, not to say that, you know, there's not much call for, you know, riflemen out here, but you know what I mean? There's not a lot of cavalry when it comes to electronics and tech. The health industry. I mean, all of this.
Well, let me ask you this. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
As opposed to going in right when you're out of high school, there are advantages to taking a couple of years of college or 4 years of college and then join the Navy. How does that help you?
So essentially the way that works is if you were to come in with a college degree, so there's two routes that you could ultimately go.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you came in active duty, I take that back. There's three. One route is you come in as a higher rank as the enlisted side. You also have the reserve side of the house, which essentially means that you stay in your home state, your hometown, doing the job that you have your degree with, and then you do drill weekend, you know, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks out of the year, or you can do the commissioning program. Essentially, you come in as a commissioned officer.
There you go. That helps. That helps.
Obviously. So, you know, there's definitely benefits to having a degree.
Right.
You know, and then there's also benefits of just coming straight out
of high
school.
Either way.
You know, I'm just a few classes shy of my bachelor's degree, you know, and I came in right out of high school, and I did college at my own pace.
Man, I'm just sitting here looking at through all the different notes of all the different why is recruiting important. But really, when it comes down to it, it's great training. You're serving your country.
By the way, we want to thank you for your service.
Oh, it's
what
my
you
pleasure.
Do because
thank you all.
You have to be special to be in the services, no matter what service you're in, as far as I'm concerned. You got to be special.
355 ship force. So, that, I mean, these are all the new ships coming out. I'm sitting here reading about this. So the current 5-year defense plan calls for an increase in total in strength of over 30,000 sailors with 74 unique skill sets. She highlighted mine. I don't know if she did yours or not. But yeah, so I mean, that just goes to show the jobs are there, and it's more than that. It's a career.
Absolutely.
For you, you'll be retired at 38, or could be.
Potentially,
and then go into the private sector in another 20 years, you could, man.
You know, and the great thing about that,
I wish I could start over now.
Even though I'm in a specific job field, my degree that I've obtained is completely different. And the Navy also allows you to perform cross-platform while you're out in the fleet. So essentially, you may be one job, but you could be working in another department learning other things.
Mm.
So the ability to continue to learn and grow is endless. Especially in those subspecialties of the aviation community, you can just do essentially all of it. You can learn and have your hand in the cookie jar and just about all of it.
You know, you talked a little bit about the benefits as far as education is concerned, but there's other benefits that has to do with things like healthcare and things like that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So our healthcare benefits, you know, is free essentially.
Mm-hmm. That's a benefit.
To keep it short, essentially anything that you need medically,
mm-hmm.
dental. Is taken care of. I'll use myself as an example. I had surgery back in June on my shoulder, and I haven't paid a dime. I'm not 100% sure what costs are on the outside because I didn't receive a bill. Right?
That's nice.
So it was definitely beneficial to me, and I would have never went to the doctor and had my shoulder fixed if I didn't have these particular benefits that, you know, come with being in the service.
103.9 98.5 The Pig, mypigradio.com. That's our app too. If you haven't got the mobile app yet, get that in the App Store or Google Play, My Pig Radio. You ready to play a game?
Well, hold on a minute. Just as you get ready, I was just going to hit on a couple things, but you get your game ready.
No, go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay.
I got it.
I know that locally, the recruiting station is in Central Mall. What is the age?
So the minimum age mm-hmm. is 17, and that's going to be with parental consent, and we'll take everybody up to 39.
Okay.
39.
If you're between 17, well, we're a little past it, but if you're between 17 and 39, what do you need to do if you're interested in finding out more about the Navy, whether it be going down here to the local or what do they need to do?
So essentially the way that works, it's really easy with how technologically advanced everything is in today's society, right? The U.S. Navy has a Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. We also have a website, and it has an application essentially on there. What happens when you fill out that application? It goes to one of our national lead recruiters who will then review all of the documents that you submitted, making sure that you're qualified. Once you were found qualified, essentially you were kind of funneled down to the local recruiting stations across the nation. Now, if you were local and you were interested in joining the Navy, you just swing by the office mm-hmm. and or contact one of the Navy recruiters up there at the office. We have our cards outside mm-hmm. the door, and we're going to ask a couple questions, get to know you a little bit, see what interests you and, you know, what drives you mm-hmm. and everything like that to find out exactly what type of fit you are in the Navy. And then essentially from that, bring in all the required documents that we would let you know at that time.
There you go.
You're on your way.
All right. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Does sound like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of fun.
he loves to play games.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader? These questions come from a standard fifth grade curriculum in the U.S.,
I'm going to warn you, sometimes they're pretty easy and sometimes they're not. Last time we did this with somebody, I forgot, we had a tough time.
All right, so you got to get at least 4 out of 5 correctly.
Okay.
Or it's back to the fourth grade.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Number one, what is the least common denominator of 1/5 and 3/8? A, 2, B, 24, or C, 40?
Huh?
That's what I say.
Well, I know 3/8 is smaller.
I don't have time to pen and paper it. So.
It's 40.
Thank you.
All right. We'll give you both that one.
Easier question, please. He starts with math.
All right. Listen to this sentence. Earthquakes are common on the West Coast. What part of speech is the word earthquake? A, a plural noun. B, a singular possessive noun. Or C, a plural possessive noun.
I'm going to go with A.
I'm going with A.
Yeah, both of you are correct.
High five.
Yeah,
we did that one.
It's a plural noun. All right. What major event happened at the end of the Cretaceous period? A.
I don't even remember what the Cretaceous period is.
You were there.
No, I wasn't.
A. Dinosaurs went extinct. B. The first mammals appeared. Or C. The Ice Age began.
This is science, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to go with C.
I think he's right.
It was when dinosaurs went extinct.
Oh.
Right. You've got to get these final two now.
Okay.
Lord. Here we are, number four. What battle kicked off the American Revolutionary War? A, Battle of Bunker Hill. B, Battles of Lexington and Concord. Or C, Battle of Trenton.
Can I call a lifeline?
Yeah, really? Can we call Bunker Hill?
That's
not right, is it?
I'm going to tell you go a different way.
Yeah, go different. It's not Bunker Hill.
So,
what, say them again.
That's right. Lexington and Concord. Oh,
okay.
Very good.
I did a good job.
All right,
thank
final.
You.
Final one, and this is an easy one.
Final question.
Which famous classical composer was deaf when he wrote some of his greatest works? Mozart, Bach, or Beethoven?
Beethoven.
There you go. All right.
He knew that one too good.
Thank you for coming in and playing with us today and sharing a little bit about this. And truly, thank you for your
service. Yeah.
Oh, well, again, thank you guys for having me. Definitely a pleasure to be here. And for those that are listening, you know, if you're interested in the Navy, call 1-800-USA-NAVY. Talk to one of our national recruiters. Know that it's a life-changing moment in your life. It has quite a few benefits.
Absolutely.
All right. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
This podcast brought to you by Two Old Men and a Morning Show and sometimes a dog, coffee. Coffee with a purpose. Join us next time for another exciting podcast from Two Old Men, a Morning Show, and sometimes a dog.